You know, Psalm 33 says something really interesting. It says, how pleasant it is when my children live together in unity. And you know what it says? For there the Lord will command a blessing. No, not just allow. It's like God says to heaven, I command a blessing to go to that family. What? They don't deserve it. No, I command a blessing. Go. Ooh, is it that important to you, God? Oh, you better believe it is.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. Picture yourself stumbling upon some priceless treasure, perhaps old coins or artwork from centuries ago. Do you discard them because they are dirty and worn? No, you carefully restore them to their original condition. Well, God found us that way, and throughout life, He is restoring us to the person He created us to be. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Building a Restorative Lifestyle.
Well, please take out your notes as we talk today about building a restoring lifestyle. Building a restoring lifestyle. Each of us has a default that we kind of crank back to, resort back to. What is the bottom line? Is it being resentful? Is it being questioning? Or is it blaming others? What are we known for? What's your default? Today, my prayer and my hope is that God will change that default to something more like He created us to have and not that we have slumped into. Because we can come to the Lord, we can come to Christ, become a Christian, but our default doesn't change. My prayer is that somehow His divine screwdriver will go into the adjustment portion of our hearts and change who we are at our very core. So today we want to talk about how to build a restoring lifestyle the way God created us to be. Did you know that everything God creates, it's designed, hardwired into it to restore, not destroy, to give back better than what it received? I mean, if you take a look at it, let's say, for example, if you think, take an orange tree. An orange tree can be planted in the middle of this dirty orchard, and on the ground from rain and animals, etc., you can have pathogens, you can have bacteria, you can have muddy water, but that water will drain down. And you know what will happen is that orange tree roots will actually take all of that filthy, virus-laden, pathogen-laden water, purify it, put it into little pockets of called oranges, little fruit baskets here, that you will pick, and without even testing its purity, you'll have every bit of confidence to eat that thing, that whose juices came from filthy water. Then think about the plants that are along our roadsides. God created in such a way that there's a regimen called photosynthesis that will take carbon dioxide and turn it into and give back to us pure oxygen. Think about that. Just how God created. God created cows in this way. I mean, everything He creates takes something lower and gives back something higher. Cows will eat grass off the fields, got manure and feces, urine, all mixed together, eats that stuff. And then it swallows it, mixes it with bile, acid, and then herps it back up. Chews that thing again, gets a little bit more flavor from it. Puts a little more flavor into it, swallows it again. After a little while, it comes up again, chews it again, puts it back down, digests it, and becomes the milk that you drink. And what was filthy? E. coli bacteria, pathogens, gives us life and health, and we drink it. Think about the aquifers underneath us. You got all kinds of stuff raining down. You got all kinds of stuff that we deposit onto the land. And yet with the rain, it pushes all of that stuff down, filters it, goes into an aquifer, and we get pure water that we drink from it. If you think about it, everything that God creates, He creates to restore, to take something from a lower state and give back to a higher state. Now, when God created you and me, don't you think He would do the same thing? Yet sometimes we as people made in His image don't follow the very way that we were created. And that's why when things are wrong and things are broken, there should be a pit in our stomach that we can't handle stuff that's broken or impure or wrong without us having something inside of us that keeps us awake. And if you say, boy, this thing is keeping me awake, good. Because God is saying, you got to do something to resolve it. That's how I created you. I didn't create you to leave it in a lower state and give back something of a lower state. That's why revenge is so dangerous, because we're giving back what they just gave to us. And we call it righteous. And the Lord's saying, be careful of that. Be careful. I'll take care of that. There will be a resolution, but be careful that you don't take God's authority into your hands and say, I am his arm extended, and go with that. No, he created us in such a way, and especially maybe not in huge war times, but let me just talk about the 99% of the times where brokenness and fissures and fractures take place. It's like right here in our lives, in our families. And God creates us, however, to be conversion machines, to take something from a lower state, put it into something higher. In fact, in the Bible, we find that he tells us that we have that assignment, just like he did with all of creation. We have that same assignment. We're going to read it. It's in your notes, and it's come up on the board as well. Let's read what the Bible is saying. Would you read this nice and loudly? Go. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us what? Loudly. The Yeah, what's our ministry? The ministry of? Let's continue. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Watch this. And he is committed to us the message of reconciliation. We therefore are what? Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Let me pause on that last phrase. If you've never come to Christ and if you've never been reconciled to God, do so today. I'll give you an opportunity at the end of this service to be reconciled to God. But he's speaking to us. We are ambassadors of his reconciliation. In other words, how I created plants and animals, the same DNA is in us to reconcile, not to destroy. Would you write down in your notes, one of the first things I want you to catch today is this. That's how we were created. That's why when things aren't right, there's a pit in your stomach. Something's not right. I can't shake it off. It bothers me. I can't sleep. Good. Because God created us to get things together, not to leave things flung apart. God created us to be virtuous. In fact, let's read what it says here in Ecclesiastes, and you'll see what I mean. Would you read this first one? Go. God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own. Yeah. Are you known as someone who always sees things up or constantly sees things down? Seeing someone to blame. Well, it's because so-and-so. Well, if I had all the time he had to do this, then I would be as good as him. Well, I don't know about that. He's not as good as he thinks he is. We always see things down. Do you see evidences of God's presence or evidences of God's absence? Do you see the best in people or look for the worst? You know, it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, same scripture in the NIV. It says this, the New International Version. This only have I found, that God created man upright, but they've gone in search of many schemes. Do you know that the way God created us was to be a conversion machine? That when we see something down, we bring it up. Something dark, we bring it to the lightness. When we see something broken, we want to see it healed. It's just how it is. God created us that way. In fact, the Bible says it this way, unless you be converted and become as a child, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I stewed on that for a long time. Unless I become converted and become as a child. And I would think about that. And I thought, you know, kids, they're created innocent. We're the ones that get them corrupt. I look at all of the drag stuff going on and the things being taught in school. And I thought, us adults are to blame for what our society is today. Because we've let those things go. God created children with innocence. And so unless you be converted, receive Christ, which many of you have here, and be converted and become as a child, change your default. Become a person that sees things with innocence rather than corruption, looking for, being attracted to that which is pure, that when you take in something bad, you give back something much better. Unless you become as a child, your default changes, you'll not understand or enter the kingdom of heaven. I have a pastor friend of mine that illustrated this. He was riding bicycles with his family along the ocean side. And so he and his wife and two children, one's about 12 and the other's about 5. The youngest child was with them, and they were all riding together. And what he didn't know is as they were riding along this road that was pretty isolated, just a sand road, what he didn't know was that there was a nudist colony that they were riding right by. And so they turned the corner and these four guys with nothing on come riding by in their bikes. And the father's going, oh man, my kids are seeing this. What are they going to think? And just then the youngest one said, Dad, did you see that? None of them were wearing helmets. I thought, that's the innocence of a child, you know. Now, we as adults see differently, you know, but those kids, I thought, now I'm beginning to understand, unless he be converted, becomes a child, because that's how I created you, to be a conversion machine. And when we break that and violate that, something doesn't feel right. You understand? Just not right. And God says, good, because I didn't create you that way to make that normal. I gave you that tension so that it brings restoration, so you learn to build a restoring lifestyle. That's your new default. You don't leave things unresolved. It's sort of like a musical instrument that's played and it gives you a tension chord. We call it a seventh or whatever. Dun, 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 dun. Boom. You want that resolution. And if someone just like, dun, 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 God bless you, go home. It's like, no, you play that chord. You got to resolve that. Done. Thank you very much. I'll see you later. And even our ears, our whole being is developed that way, that we need stuff resolved to give us peace. That's how he created us. That's the first thing I want us to know, that God created us. But you say, Wayne, we all have disagreements. Absolutely. We're human. We're frail. We have different temperaments, different viewpoints, different perspectives. Even Anna, I know this is hard to believe, but even Anna and I have had arguments. Not my fault. And but it's because we're frail. But do we leave it that way? I tell people, my wife keeps a clean house, and it's not because it never gets dirty. It's because when it does get dirty, she cleans it up right away. We will get dirty. Question is, will you leave it that way? Make it your lifestyle. Make it your default. That's what we want to talk about today. Even Billy Graham, I remembered an interview with Billy Graham, and the interviewer asked Billy Graham, he said, do you and Ruth ever have disagreements? He said, oh, yes. Well, sir, said the interviewer, have you ever considered divorce? He said, divorce? No. Murder? Yes. I thought that was cool. So we're all going to have different perspectives and maturity levels and hurts from the past that we have to overcome. I understand that. But when contentiousness and divisiveness and an unwilling to restore becomes your reputation, your DNA, when it becomes who you are, that's what causes revenge and bitterness. And people, women, men, both become old biddies. I tell Anna when she gets upset about any little thing, I'll say, honey, no biddies allowed in my house. Because you see, when it becomes who I am, contentiousness, blaming people, that's their fault. Hey, what about this? No. We become more of a brake than a gas pedal. When that becomes who we are, listen carefully, hell is looking for hosts. Say, well, what do you mean? A host is where a pathogen or a bacteria clings to, some kind of germ or virus looking for a host. And that's how they spread. And hell is also looking for hosts. Will you be one? You see, when there, that division, that sense of contentiousness finds its place in you because you've been giving breath to it. You've been giving audience to it. That's your tendency. Now it's your reputation. People know you as that. And when that happens, it's like bait to the devil. And then it becomes not a tendency that we have to be negative or problem, looking for problems more than potential, looking for what's wrong in people rather than what's right, looking for evidences of God's absence rather than his presence. When that becomes us, it's like we're inviting as a host, here it is, a spirit of divisiveness. A spirit of division can come into a church through individuals that have been giving host to a spirit of division. You say, really? Uh-huh. Let's read what it says here in Ephesians 6. Would you read it? It'll come up on the board. Go. For our struggle is not against people, flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of in the heavenly places. You see, demonic spirits, no, it's not possession, but it is oppression. It's like a nation under oppression, occupation of another nation. You still have the free choice as Christians to say no to that. But if you say, what's wrong with that? Then they find a host in you, and you are your proclivity, your reputation, everything. Your default is not what God created you as. It becomes a different default. And boy, when you see that and work overtime to break that, break it down. Because sometimes we have a tendency, we just want to be right all the time. You know, regardless of the argument, I need to be right. I remember once, I think Anna and I were arguing over the color of a tablecloth. And I thought, but I was saying, you know, well, it needs to go with the wallpaper and has to be complementary to the rug. She said, well, the season is whatever. No. We have to. And we kept going. And it was like right in the middle, the Lord said to me, would you just shut up and let it go? It's not that big of a deal. And I remember saying to the Lord, no way. No. I said, I'm winning. And then I thought, that cannot be my default. You know, the Bible says it this way, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say blessed are those who are always right. Did you know that having to be right all the time is overrated? Because often it's better to let your ego go, step on your pride and bring peace than to win. Do you know that you can be right your whole life and have very few friends? You can be right your whole life and no one comes to your funeral. You can be right your whole life and still go to heaven. But when you get there, the angels will go, oh, good night. Guess who's coming in? Mr. Right himself. It's better to have peace and restore relationships because that's our default, see? But our default sometimes changes, becomes the wrong one. The Bible says that a house divided cannot stand. It breaks apart if your house is divided. Can I encourage you to be a difference maker? Let me speak to the men just for a second. Men, honor your wife. Respect her. Well, she doesn't deserve it. Neither do you. But you give respect and you give honor. Because it's when you do, respect is like the soil in which love grows. Because love has to grow. When I said I do to Anna, I did 50 years ago. When I said I do at that wedding altar many years ago, my I do now is so much more mature. My love is so different than what it was back then. We've gone through all kinds of setbacks, all kinds of storms, all kinds of fires. And when I say I do to her now, don't you know it means a whole lot more. Your love has to grow. If it doesn't grow, you're going to be in deep kimchi come the storms. And so when we say, yes, our love has to grow, then what's the soil in which love grows? It's respect. Even if they don't deserve it, because we don't either. Neither of us do. But it's something that we as men must take the first step in. Can I encourage you men in this place, in this section, in this part of the message? It's like, go first. I know the scripture says, be last, but in this portion, be first. Be the first to apologize. And if the guys can't, sisters, you go first. Show them up and go first, because reconciliation is real important. Well, how do we get people reconciled? My wife is way out in Boonie Land. Pray for her to get closer to Jesus. Keep inviting her to the things of God, because it might be 25, 30 more invitations before her heart softens and says, okay, I'll come. I'll listen. I'll be open. But she's going to rate her openness with your respect. If you're disrespectful, you haven't paved the tarmac for her plane to take off. You've got to be able to do that in lifestyle. That's why we build a restoring lifestyle, not just knowledge, lifestyle. And when that respect is there, love starts to grow. Her openness begins to grow. You know, Psalm 33 says something really interesting. It says, how pleasant it is when my children live together in unity. And you know what it says? For there the Lord will command a blessing. No, not just allow. It's like God says to heaven, I command a blessing to go to that family. What? They don't deserve it. No, I command a blessing. Go. And boom. It's almost like the Lord says, I'm going to use my executive powers when I see people working together. Ooh, is it that important to you, God? Oh, you better believe it is. What I'm about to share with you, I need you to put on both ears and listen very carefully, because if you catch this, you will work overtime to restore anything that's coming apart. Ready? Here it is. Deuteronomy 32, the enemies are here and Israel's here, and the Lord uses this military thing to make a point. And he says, their gods are false gods, and they're going to be eradicated. But because they're following an idol, and you're following me, here's what God says. One of you will chase 1,000, but two of you will put 10,000 to flight. I looked at that, and I said, wait a minute. 1,000, but two people together, not 2,000. When there is unity and people start agreeing and work together, it is 10 times, not 2 times. And then I began to understand. I thought, Lord, if one puts 1,000 to flight, two together, 10,000, it releases. When people are working together and we work hard to restore brokenness, God activates a 10x power in our life. It just blew my mind. I thought, wow, 10 times the strength to overcome obstacles, 10 times the strength to accomplish something, and it becomes 10 times more rewarding. Wow. Our prayers are given priority. In fact, even in Matthew 18, the Lord says, if it's one of you, but if two or more of you agree as touching any one thing, it will be done. Wow. So you really prioritize relationships, don't you? I thought, yeah, he does. And that's why our series together to me is a very important one. But when I operate with unresolved relationships, unresolved brokenness, and though there's a pit in my stomach, I just make it normal. And I become a host to a divisive kind. In fact, James says it this way, let not man expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man who will be unstable in all of his ways. You see, when two or more agree as touching any one thing, it will be done. God prioritizes, but when there's unity, but when there's division, not only does it make our faith ineffective, we start to operate with 1/10 the power that you could have operated with. 1/10. But when there's unity in a relationship and families and churches, we got to work really hard to keep the spirit of division out of our family, out of our marriages, out of our church, out of our youth groups, out of everything. Can you say amen to that? Work hard on that and say no, like Gandalf, you ain't coming any further than this. When that happens, God says, I'm going to release to you 10 times the power, a 10x power. I thought, that's it.
You've just heard a message entitled Building a Restorative Lifestyle by Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. Thank you for listening. Keep in mind what Pastor Wayne said.
You know, Psalm 33 says something really interesting. It says how pleasant it is when my children live together in unity. And you know what it says? For there the Lord will command a blessing. No, not just allow. It's like God says to heaven, I command a blessing to go to that family. What? They don't deserve it. No, I command a blessing. Go. Ooh, is it that important to you, God? Oh, you better believe it is.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the New Hope family, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.